Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Well, good morning. Glad you guys are here. My name is Trey Kelly. I am the lead pastor here. There's the television. All right, awesome. Kicking off a brand new series today called Leap of Faith. And rather than try to explain what a leap of faith is, we figured we'd just show you that horrifying video of people jumping and riding and skiing off of a cliff that looked like it was like 50 feet high. Anybody do that in here, by the way? Anybody? Go, wow, proud of you. Yeah, can't do that. Can't do that. So the reason we showed you that video is because I assume you look at those videos and you probably have the same question I have. How do they do that? Like, we look at these people who take these giant leaps and we wonder, man, how do they do that? Because I would never be able to do that. But if you actually talk to them, if you ask, especially the guy who did the skiing one where, like, he, you know, rode off the cliff and just soared through the air and then just landed perfectly, that wasn't his first jump. He's probably been doing that for years, decades even. And I guarantee you, the first time he jumped, he didn't jump 50 feet off of a cliff, or he wouldn't be here anymore. No, the first time he jumped was probably a very safe, a very controlled jump. Someone probably taught him how to do it. Somebody probably coached him. He probably had some practice. And eventually, through practice, he learned to leap. And that is what I hope the God of the universe is going to do in each one of our lives over the next few weeks. I hope that through the series we're going to start today, he's going to give me and you and all of us confidence to leap. Because if you consider yourself a Christian today, following God really comes down to a series of leaps. They're leaps of faith. If you're here today and you don't consider yourself a Christian, to even begin the journey of following Jesus, you will be invited to take a leap of faith. God is always inviting us to take leaps of faith because he's always trying to grow our relationship with him. For example, if you consider yourself a Christian today, you may not even realize it, but you took a tremendous leap of faith when you became a Christian. Because the foundation of the Christian faith is that we believe a man named Jesus existed over 2,000 years ago on the other side of the planet. We believe he lived a perfect, sinless life. We believe he died, and we believe he came back to life. Like, that's the bare minimum. We have to believe Jesus died and came back to life to be able to become a Christian. Raise your hand if you were there when Jesus came back to life. Any of you? Raise your hand if you know somebody who was there when Jesus came back to life. None of us. We take it on faith. And our entire journey with God is a series of leaps of faith. He invites us to obey when we don't understand why we should obey. He invites us to trust when it doesn't make sense. He invites us to follow him because he knows the way and we don't. Our entire life is a series of leaps. And what I believe we can do is we can actually learn to trust before we leap. Because at some point in my life and some point in your life, we're eventually going to come to a place where God is going to call us to leap, and we're going to have learned some lessons to be able to take that step. At some point, God might call you to change careers. That's a big leap. It's going to be valuable to have some lessons in your back pocket when you get there. Maybe God's going to call you to move to a new place. Maybe God called you to move here. Maybe you're sitting in this room as a leap of faith. That's what happened to me and Danny. April 15th, 2008, we were living in the Dallas-Fort Worth area in Texas, and God said, hey, quit your job, move to Myrtle Beach where you know exactly one human being, and start a church. And we did. And I assure you, that was not the first leap we'd ever taken. God had spent decades in my life and in her life preparing us, coaching us, and teaching us lessons from the smaller leaps to prepare us for that leap in that moment. And I'm convinced that the God of the universe wants to do the very same thing for every person in this room, every person watching online, because his desire is to grow his relationship with us. His desire is that we trust him totally, that we trust him completely, that when he says leap, we say, yes, sir. But that doesn't start with a major leap. That's not how God works. It begins with a series of smaller leaps. And that's what I want us to talk about over the next few weeks. In fact, God is so good that not only does God want to teach us through our own steps, the God of the universe wants to teach us how to trust him through the leaps and through the steps of faith of other people. Did you know that? Did you know that God has given me and you on all of us a book full of people taking leaps of faith? It is a book full of men and women just like me and just like you who are wrestling with God, who are deciding if they even believe in God. Some of them will decide to believe in God. Others didn't decide to believe in God. We see people becoming Christians. We see people living the life of what it means to be a Christ follower. We have this book, and it's called the Bible, and it is full of stories of people learning to leap. In fact, one of the reasons God gave that to us was so that we could read those stories. Because as we read those stories, we begin to notice patterns. And as we read those stories, we begin to discover principles, unshaking truths about our God that we can learn from other people, and then we can have at our disposal when we find ourselves at a moment of leaping. And so what we're going to do for the next few weeks is we're actually going to look at one man. And through this one man, hopefully God's going to reveal to me and you and all of us some principles to give us some courage to take big, bold steps for God, to take the leaps of faith that are always going to be required if we want to be the men and women God wants us to be. And specifically, the guy we're going to look at today is a man named Elijah. Elijah is what we call a prophet of God. Elijah exercised his ministry, performed his ministry in what is called the Old Testament. If you're not familiar with the Bible at all, it's divided into two sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament. All right? And Testament really isn't even a good word for it. It really should be called the Old Agreement and the New Agreement. All right, the Old Agreement began when God created the heavens and the earth. He created Adam, he created Eve, put them in the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve decided to sin. They didn't obey God. They brought sin into the world. And with that came evil. And so God decided to begin a rescue mission for humanity through one man named Abraham. He chose the nation of Israel to be an example to the world, to basically say, this is what it means to follow God. And their story is what's made up in our Old Testament. And Israel was used by God to establish a nation through which he could send Jesus. That begins the New Testament. New Testament picks up when Jesus is born. We follow his birth, his life, his death, burial, and resurrection. And then the New Testament tells a story of the spread of what Jesus came to finish. Jesus came, fulfilled the role of the nation of Israel, and unleashed on the world this new promise that if you believe in God, if you put your faith in him, you can have eternal life. That's why we call it the New Agreement, because he finished the Old Agreement and the new one is here. So you may say, okay, but then why do we still read the Old Agreement? Because it's filled with stories. Because it's filled with stories of men and women just like us trying to learn how to follow God. And those stories are preserved for us so we can see what it means to follow God. So that we can see, okay, I can trust him because he came through time after time after time after time, and I believe he'll come through for me as well. Which brings us back to Elijah. Elijah, prophet of God. That means he spoke on behalf of God. God would say, Elijah, go say this. And Elijah would say, yes, sir. And he'd go say it. Because God would have to use prophets from time to time to speak to the nation of Israel. They didn't always obey. Sometimes they would wander. And so God would send a prophet to try to draw them back. During Elijah's lifetime, almost the entire nation of Israel has turned their back on God. The king of Israel, a guy named Ahab, has turned his back on God. And so God sends Elijah to speak. God speaks to Elijah through something we call the Holy Spirit. And here's the amazing part. In the New Testament, when Jesus came and he finalized our ability to have a relationship with God, every single one of us in this room, we get access to the same Holy Spirit that spoke to Elijah. We get access to the same Holy Spirit that led those prophets. That same Holy Spirit wants to speak to me, wants to speak to you every day of our lives. And so Elijah's not some guy out there that we can't learn from. He's a perfect example. He's someone we can study to say, all right, God, I see how you moved there, and I trust you to move again. So if today you find yourself struggling with a leap of faith, I don't know what it is, but you do. You've talked about it. You've wrestled with it, you and your spouse, you and your kids. Maybe you're struggling to know, okay, what's next? Maybe you're wrestling with what school to pick. Maybe you're wrestling with what your career could be. Head goes one way, heart goes the other. And heart's terrifying because heart requires a leap. And you're not sure you're prepared for that leap. Man, you picked the perfect day to be here. And you picked the perfect series to start us with. Because having been a Christian for almost 30 years and in public ministry almost 20 years, here's what I know for sure. The leap is always worth it. And so that's why we're going to spend a few weeks learning to leap. Learning to trust God on this side of faith. Because on the other side of faith, it's always easy to trust God. You turn around and say, oh yeah, I knew it. And that's why we have the other side of faith. Because the more leaps we take, the more we learn, the easier it is to leap again. So I want to take you to Elijah. I want to take you to his story because it's in his story we're going to see ourselves. And it's in his story God is going to begin to reveal to us some of the anchor, some of the principles that we can all hold on to when we find ourselves in those moments of fear, in those moments of panic, in those moments of saying, God, I don't think I can do this. If you've ever felt that way, this series is for you. So I want to take you to the book of 1 Kings. It's in our Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 17. And when we find Elijah, he has gone to speak to King Ahab. Ahab is the leader of the nation of Israel at this point. And Ahab has turned his back on God. Ahab has decided to worship a god named Baal. And the entire nation has pretty much followed him. And it's into this moment God calls Elijah to speak. And here's what Elijah says. Now Elijah, who was from Tishbe in Gilead, told King Ahab, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, the God I serve, there will be no dew or rain during the next few years until I give the word. Now you may wonder, why is he coming in giving a weather forecast? Well, Baal, the god that Ahab and the nation of Israel worshipped, they believe he was in charge of the weather. And so God, in order to get the attention of the nation of Israel, would do this from time to time. He would cause things to happen. And so he tells Elijah, hey, go tell Ahab that his God's not real. And to prove it, I'm going to stop it from raining for a few years. And then we'll see what happens. Which, pause for a second. Just think about that for a second, because it's easy to read the story, but think about that. Think about walking into a place of someone who wants to kill you, because Ahab wanted to kill Elijah, walking in with confidence and saying, hey, God just told me to tell you it's not going to rain for a few years. Peace. It's not going to rain for a few years? That's not a thing Elijah had ever seen happen in his lifetime. So we have to wonder, where did he get the confidence to go into that place and to announce, hey, it's not going to rain anymore? But that's not the end of his confidence. Watch what happens next. Then the Lord said to Elijah, second this is over, I want you to go to the east and hide by Kereth Brook, near where it enters the Jordan River. I want you to drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you, for I have commanded them to bring you food. All right, so I told you to go tell them it's not going to rain anymore. You did that. That's good. Now I want you to go to a place you've never been before. I want you to camp. I want you to drink river water. And don't worry, the birds are going to feed you. And watch what happens. Elijah says, okay. He did as the Lord told him, and he camped beside Kereth Brook east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. He did it. See, we just saw Elijah put on a pair of skis and jump off a 50-foot cliff. But it's because we're catching Elijah in the middle of his faith journey. This isn't the first step Elijah's been asked to take. This isn't the second step Elijah's been asked to take. He's been following God his entire life. He has learned to leap. And so we see these things and we can think, man, that Elijah's a pretty great guy. But that's not the response God wants from us. When we see this, we need to recognize Elijah had learned he had a great God. And when God said, go, he said, yes. And the reason I point that out is because it can be easy in a church setting or when you hear these stories of other people and when you see these things to do like we do when we see those videos. To say, I would never be able to do that. I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't jump off that. I would never be able to do those sort of things. I'd never be able to do something big for God. I'd never be able to take a big step for God. You don't know that yet. Because they didn't start that way either. It starts small. And it starts quiet. And it's a simple step. And then it's a simple jump. And we land and we learn that was okay. And we look back and we learn that leap worked. And then we leap again and we leap again. That's what it means to follow God. That's what it means to learn to trust him. And my prayer is that by the time this series is over, maybe you have taken some more leaps. Maybe you've taken some bigger leaps. And maybe by the time we're done, our faith will look a little more like Elijah's does here. A little more complete trusting, complete faith in God. And the way we're going to get there is not to admire Elijah. It's to learn from Elijah. Because, see, Elijah had learned something. He had learned something about God. He had noticed something that made it easier for him to trust when God said, step. And it's a principle about God that we can all put in our back pocket, that we can all hold on to be a little more equipped when God asks us to step. And it's this. Here's what Elijah understood. He understood that there is a pattern to God's provision. I'm not saying God always does the same thing. But I'm saying anytime God says step and we obey, he provides for that step. And that's easy to understand. But it's life-changing when you learn it. And that's where Elijah was. He had learned this. He had experienced this for himself. So much so that he was even prepared when God tried to change the plan. Watch this. But after a while, the brook dried up, for there was no rainfall anywhere in the land. Of course, God had said, it's not going to rain anymore. So the brook eventually dries up. Elijah does not panic. Elijah does not curse God. Elijah simply listens to God. And here's what God tells him to do. Then the Lord said to Elijah, I want you to go and live in the village of Zarephath, near the city of Sidon. For I have instructed a widow there to feed you. I fed you by birds last time. Now I'm going to feed you by a widow this time. Let's go. And Elijah says, okay, again, this is nothing for Elijah. He has been walking in faith. He is who we are going to aspire to be. His faith is aspirational for me and aspirational for you in this moment. Because here's what happened. So he went. He went to Zarephath, and as he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks. Of course he did. He gets there. There's the widow. And Elijah is a man of faith, and God says she's going to feed him. So he just walks right up to her, and he says, hey, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? And as she was going to get it, he called to her, would you bring me a bite of bread too? And this is the first time I want to say, Elijah, couldn't you have said hello? Hi there, my name's Elijah. I believe God spoke to you about me. I'm very honored you're going to host me in your house. I'm very honored you're going to feed me. It's so nice to meet you. Bro, did you have to just go straight to bring me some water and bread? See, Elijah wasn't perfect. But Elijah was smack dab in the middle of his faith journey. I got news for you. The widow, she was not. The widow was new to faith. In fact, this might have been the very first step the widow had ever been asked to take. And here's how she responds. But she said, I swear by the Lord, your God, that I don't have a single piece of bread in my house. Notice she called him your God. She didn't say my God. She said, yeah, your God showed up. He told me you were coming. He told me I was supposed to feed you, and I just laughed. How do you feed somebody when you don't have bread? And how do you have bread when you don't have water? Remember that? Remember your God, the guy that turned off the water? I don't have any bread, man. I don't have any bread. I can't give you any bread. In fact, she keeps going. She says, I only have a handful of flour left in a jar. And I have a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. And I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal. And then my son and I, we're done. See, God's just led Elijah to a woman who is at the end of her rope. She's out. She's done. Circumstances completely beyond her control, this drought, has dried up everything. She's out of resources. You can't grow anything if you don't have water. You can't have, she has no flour. She's at the end of her oil. She's literally going out to pick up some sticks so that she can take the last little bit of flour she has and the last little bit of oil and make her son one last meal that she knows is it. Before she has to look him in the eye and say, baby, I'm sorry, we're out. I guess this is it. And into that moment, she hears from the God of the universe who says, I want you to take care of my servant Elijah. I do not identify with Elijah. I identify with the widow. Because if you have been a Christian longer than a week, I am certain that you have had a moment, if not a season, where you have felt done. The last 2 years, ring any bells? What we've all gone through with COVID and the pandemic and living at a level of physical, mental, and emotional depletion that we didn't even know we could live. And if you're like me, maybe you've had moments where into that time you hear God speak, and God's like, hey, I want you to do this thing for me. Hey, I want you to jump for me. Hey, I want you to go serve those people. And we look at God and say, you want us to do what? Have you seen what's been going on? Have you seen how hard we were? Have you seen how exhausted I am? Have you seen how exhausted we are? And you want me to serve right now? You want me to step up and volunteer? You want me to give something? Bro, I'm out. I got nothing. Can you relate to that? You ever felt that way? God, you want me to work on my marriage? Dude, I'm bone dry. I'm tapped out. God, you want me and my wife to sign up and be a part of a Bible study to learn about how to be better parents? You want me to get dressed again and leave my house again on a Sunday night? You think I'm Superman? Like, what? If you haven't already, you will experience a moment in your journey with God where you will feel like he is asking for more than you have to give. And you will probably react just like the widow did. Because it's the human response. How can I give this? How can I do it? I don't have it. I have nothing left. And my prayer is the next time that happens, you'll remember this story. And you'll remember what God had already taught Elijah and what he was about to teach this widow, that there is a pattern to God's provision. And that pattern will begin with him asking for more than we have. And the reason we need to notice this, the reason we need to learn this, the reason we need to embrace this is because when we understand how God works, the next time we find ourselves in the moment where God's asking for more than we have, we can remember this and we can go, ooh, maybe God's up to something more than I understand. Because that's exactly what happened in this moment. This widow loses her mind. She yells at the prophet. She's like, I ain't helping you. I got nothing. Get out. I want you to notice God's response through his prophet Elijah. Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid." I could preach a whole sermon on those three words. God's response, please don't miss this, was comfort, not correction. We have been taught that God is this cosmic killjoy in heaven with lightning bolts ready to zap us and to hurt us and to bring us back, to control us. Not this God. This God is inviting this widow to discover something about him. And she is scared to take the step. And so he doesn't rebuke, he comforts. He says, I understand you're scared, but you don't have to be. You don't have to be afraid in this moment. You can learn to trust me. And Elijah keeps going. He says, don't be afraid. He says, go ahead and do just what you said, but make a little bread for me first. Obey God first. That's the leap. That's the test. That's the step of faith. He says, ma'am, my God is inviting you into to experience something you've never experienced before. And I know it's overwhelming. I know it's scary. You don't have to be scared, but you do have to obey. You have to leap if you want to learn. You have to. And so he says, hey, I get it. Keep gathering the sticks. Go make some bread, but make some for me first. And then he says, use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. This was the faith. She only had enough for he and her son. That's it. And Elijah is saying, okay, don't be afraid. But you need to use what you have for God. And then trust God to provide what you need. That's the step. And then Elijah says this. He says, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. He says, there will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. He says, ma'am, this is your opportunity. I know you're afraid. Trust God in this moment. Obey God in this moment, and he's going to provide in ways you never thought possible. But if you don't leap, you won't learn that lesson. If you don't leap, you'll miss it. And watch what happens. So she did as Elijah said. And she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. Do you see the pattern? God calls. She was afraid. So God comforts and God promises. She steps and God delivers. He provides. She leaps and she learns that God really is good. That is the exact same lesson he wants to teach me. He wants to teach you. He wants to teach all of us. And it begins with understanding that there is a pattern to God's provision. And it always begins the same way. God asks for more than we can give. Of course he asks for more than we can give. He has to ask for more than we can give. If he asked for what we could give, we wouldn't need him. If we could do the things God asks us to do without his intervention, he wouldn't be needed in our lives. And that's not how God operates. God is always trying to draw us closer, remind us more of our dependence on him, show us how great he is, show us how much he can be trusted. So, of course, he asks for more than we can do. That is the only time we realize we need him. It's only when I'm out that I realize, oh, yeah, God's got to step in here. And one of the things he's trying to teach me in my life, and you probably too, is you could ask for me earlier. You do not have to wait until you're done. You don't have to wait until you're empty. You always do, but you don't have to wait until then. But see, there's a pattern to his provision. Of course, he invites us to take steps that are bigger than ourselves, that are beyond ourselves, that overwhelm us, because that is when we learn he is good and we need him in our lives. So see, the widow stepped. Elijah had clearly been stepping his entire life. And the pattern of provision in my life and your life is the same. God's going to ask for more than we can give. But when we step, when we obey, when we trust, watch what happens. We learn a better way to live. We do. We learn to live by faith. We learn that the leap is worth it. We learn that our God can be trusted. And boy, is that a lesson to learn when you feel like you're at the end of your rope. I mean, as I said, the last 2 years, man, COVID's just been depleting. And a lot of you know my story. 2021 didn't get better. My dad had cancer metastasized into his brain in May of last year. He had surgery done. He basically got sicker all summer. And last September, he passed away. All in all, it was pretty quick. During COVID, during all the stuff. And that's draining. That's depleting. And then, because, I don't know, I'm the oldest, it was decided that I would be the executor of his estate. Yeah. And if you've ever done it, guys, we've joked for the last 6 months. I have 2 full-time jobs now. I'm not complaining, but it's draining. It's just a lot of work. My dad had a small business, and there's just a lot of details and things, and I have probably the last 4 months lived more empty than I have in a really long time. And so, boy, do I relate to the widow. Everything that happens in my life, I'm like, God, do you see this? I didn't pick this. I didn't control this. I didn't send COVID. I didn't say to take my dad. You did all these things. I'm exhausted. I'm empty. And now you want me to do this? You want me to also be a good dad? Hello. You want me to also to step into this ministry moment? You want me to help someone else? I'm tapped out, man. I am empty. I am done. I'll own it. That is a way I felt last few months. But see, God's good. And he's been reminding me that there's a pattern to his provision. And here's what I've learned specifically about the ministry moments, because when you're in ministry, it's what you do for a living. Like, you know, you love it, but also it gets draining. And you're like, I don't know that I'm ready for that. I don't know that I can go have another conversation. I don't know that I can sit with another person, because you don't feel like you have enough to offer. Like, I don't have it in me to do this. But several times God's opened doors and I've done it, because, you know, at the end of the day, you obey. You just do. And here's what I've experienced in my life every single time, 100% of the time, universally. I leave fuller than I walked in. Every time. Because God uses my emptiness, but my willingness to obey him even in the emptiness, to say, that's all I ever wanted. Let me fill you up. Let me show you what life could look like if you lived this way all the time. Let me show you what life could look like if you always remembered to trust me first, to turn to me first. And so he's changing my life. And I believe he can change yours. Especially if you're at a point where you feel empty. You feel drained. And the idea of loving another person or forgiving another person or serving another person, playing your role in God's story, giving to another person, just shoots off all the bells and whistles of I don't have enough, I don't have enough, I don't have it. What would happen? What would happen if you embrace the idea that there's a pattern to God's provision? What would happen if you understood that he's always going to ask you for more than you have to give? And he's doing it because he wants to teach you a better way to live. What would happen if you took that knowledge to that leap? I want you to think about for a moment going home today, having a conversation and looking that leap dead in the eye and being prepared to take it because you have this confidence. I want you to imagine life on the other side of the leap. I want you to imagine life on the other side of obeying, on the other side of stepping out, and what you might look back and learn, what you might look back and understand, how you might look back and say, I am so glad I did that. God, you taught me so much. God, you filled me up in a way I never thought possible. I want you to imagine that. Imagine life on the other side of the leap, and now recognize that is within your grasps. It is what your Heavenly Father wants for you. If you can simply step. If you can simply leap. So my prayer today as we begin this series is that anywhere where you feel depleted, anywhere you feel like God is asking you for more than you have to give, that you will see it for what it is, an opportunity to learn to trust Him and to grow your faith in Him in ways you never thought possible. And as your church, we want to be Elijah. We want to encourage. We want to say, hey, don't be afraid. We are right there with you. We want to help you. We want to support you. So if there's any way we can do that, let us know. But we can learn all the lessons. We can hear all the truths. At the end of the day, the only way to learn is to leap. So my prayer for me, my prayer for you, my prayer for all of us is that God will take this lesson he taught this widow, and He will use it to unlock our hearts. He will use this to encourage us. And that we will be men and women who leap. Because we're men and women who understand God's at work. We're men and women who understand God's always going to ask for more than we can give. Because He's always trying to teach us a better way to live. So what are you waiting for? Let's pray. Father, we love you. Oh, we're so thankful. We're so thankful for your goodness, and we're so thankful that when we come to the end of our rope, you are there with open arms, ready to say, glad you're here. Father, I pray for all of us in the room with steps, for all of us with leaps that we are afraid to take because we feel so unqualified or so unprepared or so depleted, Father. Lord, may you give us the courage to step. May you give us the courage to leap, because it's only in that leap that we learn that you will be there on the other side, that you will provide for us and you will fill us in ways we never thought possible. So God, give us the courage to leap and give us the wisdom to learn the lesson on the other side so that we're more equipped, more prepared for the next step you're going to ask us all to take. We love you. We thank you for your Son. It's in His name we pray. Amen.